You know, sometimes we don't connect cause and result, do we? You know, it's true. We say, why does this happen to me? They kept saying, why are you picking me up? But when you're like right there in the middle, creating the cause for it. Okay, so yesterday we were talking about may all beings win the bliss of a Buddha. This is the prayer of Bodhisattva when seeing someone happy. So the bliss of the Buddha, we hear that term and we go, it sounds good, but what does it mean? You know, what in the world does it mean? Because when we look at it, all we know is our own experience. Yeah, and our own experience is completely infused with ignorance and afflictions. You know, that's the meaning of the word tainted or polluted or contaminated. Okay, so when we hear of, you know, this untainted bliss, you know, what in the world is that? So maybe that's one reason why they say it's indescribable. But you know, it is. I mean, it's beyond our concepts and it's beyond our experience. But we need to have something which we can make, through which we can get some idea of what it must be like. Okay? So this is the way I personally think of it, okay, when I get to, like, what in the world does great bliss mean? Is I start out with, well, what would it feel like, for example, not to get angry? You know, and I just sit and imagine that. You know, anybody could say anything they want. You all could do everything I don't want you to do. The whole world could do everything that's wrong because it isn't what I want, you know, and I'm not going to get angry. Okay. Now, when I think about that, like what that might feel like inside, to have not just the not getting angry, but the security that I'm not going to get angry. And not even having to fight off the anger and apply gazillions of antidotes. But just the fact that something happens and the mind doesn't even go in that direction, but it instead goes in the direction of compassion. Now, when I think of that, then that gives me some sense of how it must be to be a Buddha. You know, now that clearly isn't the Buddha's great bliss, but it gives me some sense of how being a Buddha is possible and how it's different than what I'm experiencing right now. You know, because otherwise it's hard for us. We think of Buddhahood, and since we only know our experience, we just try and think of Buddhahood as a revision of our own experience. In other words, Buddhahood is you finally get whatever you want. That's what heaven was. Isn't heaven? What we were taught as kids, heaven was you finally get everything you want. Okay? Which means everybody does what you want. You know, But that's not the point here. Okay, the point is the change in the mind. Yeah. Okay, or you think of attachment, craving, you know, the mind of clinging desire. Yeah. And you think of, that's just, doesn't exist in the mind. Now what would that be like? You know, you could encounter any kind of object. You could see anything, hear anything, touch, taste, smell, anything, think of anything, and your mind just remains peaceful. You know, it doesn't go into this thing of, oh, wow, I want this, how am I going to get it? Oh, if I do that to get it, oh, can I do this to get it, but then I might lose it, and maybe, you know, it won't come to me, or it'll come to me and it'll leave me, or it won't like me, or, you know, all this stuff that comes because of craving. Just imagine that in any situation in your life, craving just does not come up. Doesn't that, okay, look at the expression on her face. You like that idea, huh?
But I can't imagine.
But just try to imagine. You know, this is a real good thing in our meditation. Just try and imagine what would it be like not to have craving. To have your mind just be completely peaceful. These things come in. They're there, they leave, they left, your mind's just peaceful. You know, whatever comes, you enjoy. Whatever doesn't come, you enjoy. You know, your mind isn't continually trying to rearrange the duckies and get new duckies. You know, the mind is just content. You know, whoever you're with, you're happy. Whatever your living situation is, you're satisfied. You know? You just look at that. I mean, this is just some way that, it's not the Buddha's great bliss, but it's some way for us to get an idea that's related to our experience of what it must be like to be a Buddha. Okay? So that when we're wishing that all sentient beings have the bliss of a Buddha when we see them happy, we're really wishing something that's quite beyond their ordinary happy state. That is something that we've actually never experienced. Or we have experienced, in this way, I mean, we haven't experienced the nirvana of a Buddha, but the times, we've all had times when, like, the anger went away or the attachment calmed down and that feeling of peace that comes then. Or we've had the times when we look at something and it's ordinarily something we would get angry about or attached about, and then we go, oh, that's okay. And just that feeling of peace in the mind, we've all had that happen, you know? So based on those experiences that we have had, then we can think, okay, it must be something even beyond that, you know, where you're never even worried about craving and attachment and clinging and anger and resentment and jealousy even arising, because your mind doesn't even go anywhere near those things, you know, because it's in this completely peaceful state that comes from having removed these afflictions. Okay? So just thinking like that gives us some idea of what we're aiming for when we say, may I become a Buddha for the benefit of all. Okay? And when we're saying, may I lead all sentient beings to Buddhahood. This is the kind of thing what we want to go to and where we want to take others. And then also realize that Buddhahood isn't just that, it's also much more, you know, because it's the supreme wisdom as well, and it's the skillful means to be able to benefit others. Yeah. But just this will give us some idea. And I really recommend in your meditation just imagining this for a while, you know, because we hear it, because I'm always saying this, we hear it, oh yeah, But do we ever sit and actually do that in our meditation? You know? Especially when you do the self-generation. Or when you, you know, imagine, you know, if Chenrezig had this problem, how would Chenrezig deal with it? You know, really putting yourself into that mental state and getting some idea.